Show is back, and I'm here with John Clark, musician and all-around smart guy when it comes to the history of rock and roll. And we're talking about AOL Music's picks for the ultimate rock songwriters. Number one is Bob Dylan, and we are talking in an extended conversation about number two, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. So we talked about Magical Mystery Tour, John, and the next album came out in 1968, and that was the Beatles' untitled album. And it's forever known as the White Album because it didn't have a title and the cover was white.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the story about this now, but they did have a they had a cover concept that the record company wouldn't go for at all, and that's the reason it's a white album.
That's right, I do remember that, and yeah, it was John Naked because he tried that later.
Yeah, I desperately wish I could recall the details of it right now, but yeah, that was a last minute decision, and it wasn't theirs.
And this was their first double album.
I think that's right, yeah.
Maybe their only double album except for live kinds of things.
Well, not live kinds of things. There are no live Beatles, except for the live at the BBC. There are no live Beatles albums, but there are collections.
That's, I guess, what I meant, collections, right? Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. So, White Album is quite impressive. And here I felt they took it up a notch when it came to playing rock. And by that, I mean not rock and roll. They were always good at rock and roll, but for me, rock is something a little different. You know, back in the USSR is not like most of their early rock and roll songs. And the album starts with Back in the USSR.
Yeah, Back in the USSR is actually one of their songs that they wrote in direct competition with the Beach Boys. When they broke into the US market, they were really concerned about their position on the charts and their competition in the U.S. And especially Paul McCartney just absolutely revered Brian Wilson, and he regarded him as a genius. And he would listen to the Beach Boys songs and just go, "Gosh, how did they do that?" And Back in the USSR was a tune that they wrote that they thought would be kind of in the vein of a Beach Boys tune because of the, you know, the oohs and all that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But that happens to be one of the tunes that Paul McCartney played drums on.
Oh, okay.
He played drums on several Beatles tunes, and the situation was this: when they were recording that tune, tension was high in the band at that time, and the reason tension was high was because Yoko Ono was in the studio all the time.
Yes.
And all the band members, the other band members besides John, really, really resented that. And so it caused a big problem, and everybody's nerves were on edge. And at one point, nobody was enjoying being there. And at one point, they were recording the tracks for Back in the USSR, and Paul was getting all over Ringo, and you know, for his tom-tom passes. Messing up the tom-tom passes on the drum track. And Ringo just got up and said, "I quit," and he left. And they had to go ahead and keep recording the album. And so Paul played drums on Back in the USSR, and he played drums on Dear Prudence and maybe one or two others, I can't remember.
Now, did Ringo get paid for this album?
Well, they reconciled. Yes, they reconciled. And as a matter of fact, Ringo took off and was gone for a few weeks, and then finally came back, and he didn't know what kind of reception he was going to get. And they had covered his drums in flowers and draped a banner across them that said, "Welcome home, Ringo." And he knew that everything was cool, and they finished the album. But that was, I just happened to mention peripherally, one of the things that led to the ultimate demise of the Beatles as a band was the introduction of Yoko Ono.
I understand what you're saying. It's girls and rock don't mix, I guess.
Well, girls and rock mix as long as they're in front listening to the band.
They shouldn't be backstage, or they shouldn't be at the recording sessions. Is obviously the
lesson. They shouldn't be at the recording sessions, and they shouldn't get the idea that just because they are the wife or the girlfriend of a band member, the Fed gives them the right to somehow contribute to and dictate what goes on with the band. And I know this from personal experience because it happened to a band that I was in one time. And one of our guitar players had a girlfriend whom he eventually married. And for some reason, she thought she was just as big a part of the band as the people who were playing in the band. And it led to the demise of that band. And for that matter, created feelings of animosity in me that I have rarely experienced.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, right.
Well, let me move on because I want to get through the discography here. But
okay.
I just want to mention one more song in the White Album, and that is While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and get your take on George
Harrison.
Well,
the one person that we haven't talked about very much is George Harrison.
Right.
And he used to feel that sting, as a matter of fact. He somehow felt overlooked, and I can understand that, because he was a more introverted kind of guy and a more spiritual kind of guy. But his contributions to the Beatles were tremendous because he was the lead guitar player.
Right.
John Lennon sometimes struggled with being able to play the chords and playing rhythm guitar, but George Harrison is an absolutely inspired guitar player.
And
we're talking about one of his tunes here.
To me, While My Guitar Gently Weeps reminds me of the influence that India and Ravi Shankar had on him. And, of course, he took he's the impetus for the Beatles going to India and studying Eastern philosophy or transcendental meditation for a brief period at least.
Yeah,
and so,
well, he stayed into it longer than the rest did.
Yeah.
Ringo got tired of it pretty quick and went home.
But I mean, they all were willing to try it. And, of course, the world press follows the Beatles to India. And, frankly, Ravi Shankar and now his daughter, who plays sitar, they're world famous because of the Beatles.
That's true, yeah. The interesting thing about it is another one of Ravi Shankar's daughters, who's an illegitimate daughter, is Norah Jones.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Norah Jones, who's now a big pop star in the United States, is Ravi Shankar's daughter.
That's right. And this is a good time for a break, so we will go out with some Beatles music and be back to wrap up this segment about Lennon and McCartney as songwriters after this.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.